You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we return here with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire. And we return here. It is a Purple Friday episode of the show. A little under 1 week after the 2021 NFL Draft's conclusion. We've been talking about it. We've been talking about it all week here on the show. Three really good guests for us. The really great ones, really, in Spencer Schultz, Cole Jackson, and Lindsey Barna. Great insight from all of them into just what the draft was for the Ravens. You know, any good picks, sleeper picks, value picks, and some reaches as well, you know. It wasn't a perfect draft for the Ravens, but it was one where they improved their roster. You know, overall, they got players who, one, could make that immediate impact, and I think that's really important, but two, guys who can develop for the future. You're not going to see an instant impact from every single player off the bat. You know, there's going to be some time, some development, some hot and cold stretches, of course. There might be some rookie walls, some sophomore slumps, but the Ravens got some ballers. They got some playmakers, and I mean, I'm excited about it. I really am. But in this show today, I kind of want to take a step back because we have been talking with plenty of guests over the course of these past 3 days. And, you know, I want to take a look at what has happened this week in Ravens football. That includes the Alejandro Villanueva signing, which I do want to get into here in the first segment. Just take a look at some of the things that he brings to the team, some of the things that he said in his press conference with Baltimore media. I mean, that's all really, really important in my opinion. And then in the second segment, we'll talk a little bit more about the draft. I think it's important to get into not just the prospects that the Ravens got in the draft, but how those prospects affect the Ravens and the guys who were already on the roster. So I want to talk about some winners from the Ravens draft in the second segment and some losers from the Ravens draft in the final segment. So we do have a lot to talk about today. Let's jump right in. I do want to say, though, if you are listening here today, it is probably not on Apple Podcasts. Apple Podcasts, iTunes has been having a huge issue across our entire network and really across the world with some podcasts of getting content out. We have been affected by that here at Locked On Ravens. So I do want to say that I appreciate everybody listening on different platforms. Apple Podcasts, I have no idea. Nobody knows when they're going to get their stuff together, but it's not looking like it's anytime soon, so be sure to get our content on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Stitcher, Megaphone, TuneIn, so many other places we release our content Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time. Some people are getting it on Apple Podcasts, but the majority of them are not, and it doesn't look like it's going to get resolved anytime soon, so I appreciate everybody tuning in on other platforms if Apple Podcasts was your primary platform of listening to us. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Ravens and my personal account at KUstreicher34. So let's get into the Alejandro Villanueva signing. He signed with the Ravens a 2-year deal. I think pretty good money. You know, wasn't overly expensive. It was north of $10 million. People will say, oh my God, that's a lot for a guy that, you know, didn't really play very well last year. And, well, to be frank, the whole Steelers offensive line didn't really play well last year. It wasn't just a Villanueva thing. But Villanueva is very sound in pass protection. That is definitely his strength. Run blocking is a little bit on the weaker side for him. I still think he has the potential to go out there and provide some good run blocking for the Ravens. But something that I think was really interesting, and which is pretty common knowledge, I feel like, is during his introductory press conference with the Baltimore media, he was talking about how in Pittsburgh, you know, it was throwing 60 times a game and, you know, every single rep it seemed like the Steelers were passing the football, which, yeah, you know, if you watch the Steelers last season, that's pretty accurate. Ben Roethlisberger was back there slinging the football quite a bit in a Pittsburgh Steelers uniform in 2020. So what that does and what Villanueva explained is the fact that you go out there and defenders in particular, if they pretty much know. They're saying, well, we know the Steelers are just going to throw the football. They're not running it. It's going to be a very rare occasion where they do. So the defenders have their ears pinned back and they're just rushing and going full out pass rush, you know, moves, everything. They're not looking for the run. They don't care that the Steelers have that 10% chance or 15% chance to run the football. Every single time they're working upfield, they're working back inside, doing everything they can every single play to target the quarterback. They don't care about the running back. Oh, it's a play action. No, they don't run the football. With the Ravens, the offense is so much different, though, because they are a run-heavy team, and it throws teams off balance, especially with the play action, with the motion, with the shotgun, with the pistol. So many different options for the Ravens every single play to, is it a run? Is it a pass? Are they going to do this? Are they going to option? Are they going to reverse? Are they going to throw it deep? Are they going to throw it over the middle to the outside? So many different things where the variance helps the offensive lineman because pass rushers have to respect both the pass and the run offenses. And that's what I think is the most important part here, especially because with Villanueva, I think that took a toll not only on him last season, but also the entire Steelers offensive line. The Steelers offensive line was not great last year. One of the worst offensive units in football from an offensive line perspective, one of the worst run teams as well. Now, Villanueva is kind of switching. He's doing pretty much a 180. He's going from one of the worst rushing offenses to one of the best rushing offenses and one of the highest volume passing offense to one of the lowest volume passing offenses. So there's a lot that Villanueva is going to have to adjust to. He said he's excited to get into the playbook, and he will be switching from left tackle to right tackle. Villanueva establishing himself as a very starter-quality option at the left tackle position during his time in Pittsburgh, but obviously the whole reason Orlando Brown was traded was because of the fact that he can't play left tackle in Baltimore. So Villanueva also cannot play left tackle in Baltimore. He will be moving over to that right side. And Villanueva said, he's like, yeah, the only thing for me switching from left to right tackle is, you know, getting into the playbook. He doesn't think it's going to be too much of a transition. Obviously, it will be a bit of a transition, but he seems confident. And that's what came across to me. He seems confident. He also seems like a really fun guy to be around. He's someone who was taking playful jabs at the teammates he had in Pittsburgh, and you know, some people were taking it as, oh my god, he's serious, he hates the Steelers. No, Ramon Foster, who was one of his former teammates, went on record and said, look, Big Al's a joker, you know, he knows that, you know, he's just joking around, he's laughing at everybody's reactions. He's just a fun, playful guy, it seems like, and that's good. Having that type of guy in the locker room, an already phenomenal culture in Baltimore, I think he's gonna fit right in, I really do. And also, this is a situation where the Ravens now have a veteran on that line, and that's a good thing, because I did talk a bit about how the Ravens offensive line was very, very young, and it got younger, to be honest, because it seems like Ben Cleveland right now is the favorite to win the left guard job, and Kevin Zeitler was another veteran who was brought in. So having that veteran leadership on the right side of the offensive line to go along with Bradley Bozeman, who is probably going to take over the center position, and Ben Cleveland or Ben Powers or Ben Bredesen, who's going to probably, one of the three, is going to get the left guard job, and then Ronnie Stanley as well. That veteran leadership is so important, and Villanueva as well as Zeitler are going to provide, I think, great leadership for not only the offensive line, but the offense in general, because the Ravens have one of the youngest offensive units, or at least they had one of the youngest offensive units in football. So again, I think this is a really good aspect of that. But in terms of his play on the field, I mentioned, you know, run blocking is not his strong suit, but I think going to an offense like Baltimore's, it's going to help him tremendously. And the Ravens, and let's talk about the Buffalo game for a second. Not a fun thing to talk about, but we'll talk about it. The fact of the matter is Baltimore had a really tough time protecting Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson had no time to throw the football. I mean, we saw the play before, might have been two plays before, I kind of try to block it out, where right before Lamar Jackson throws that pick six to the Buffalo Bills defender, Tyree Phillips, J.K. Dobbins both whiff on a block, and he has Marquise Brown. Lamar Jackson has Marquise Brown streaking across the field for a shoo-in touchdown. You just can't have that. Villanueva is someone who would not let that happen, right? And, you know, there are going to be down plays of Villanueva. He's not going to have a perfect season. Every player in the NFL is going to make mistakes. And so, you know, once the mistake comes from Villanueva, his first mistake, people will go, oh man, here we go. He's washed up. He's this, he's that. No, I don't think that's the case. Villanueva is someone who will come in, make a positive impact both on and off the field. He's not the best right tackle option in the world. Baltimore, obviously, if you're looking at an on-field perspective, you know, comparing, let's say, Orlando Brown versus Alejandro Villanueva, you probably want Orlando Brown Jr. on the roster. But at the end of the day, Baltimore gets someone on the free agent market who will still provide them positive things on the football field. And I think that's the most important part, along with the fact that he's going to fit in off the field as well. We're going to head into our first break here, and when we return, we're going to be getting into some winners from the Ravens 2021 NFL Draft, so stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. You got all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all of your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their run to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Hey Ravens fans, listen up. Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC, is offering a complimentary bottle to all football fans in America. To get your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, text DRAFT to 231231. This unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone and total testosterone levels and increase energy and lean muscle mass. Plus, text now and they'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, their most powerful fat incinerator ever, with key ingredients to help you get back in shape absolutely free. Text DRAFT to 231231. That's DRAFT to 231231. Message and data rates may apply. And we return with our second segment of this Purple Friday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher still hanging out with you here. And we're now going to get into some winners from the Ravens 2021 NFL draft class, but not winners from the actual class itself. Winners from the Ravens roster. And to kind of preface this, there are plenty of players who, you know, have their roles defined on the Ravens. Lamar Jackson or Marlon Humphrey, Calais Campbell, J.K. Dobbins. I wrote about this for Ravens Wire, but there are winners from the roster because some of those players on the roster right now didn't have their roles defined. And it seemed like if there was a player that was drafted at a player's position, then it could have gotten a little dicey for the current guy on the roster, because then the rookie can come in and take some of those snaps and maybe take a spot. So there were a couple of winners from the Ravens on the Ravens roster for the 2021 draft. The first I'll start off with Tyree Phillips, the offensive lineman. I think the Ravens view him more as that tackle option now, and that's a good thing for the Ravens, because there were tons and tons of rumors about how, since the Ravens traded Orlando Brown Jr. to the Kansas City Chiefs, the Ravens were going to invest in an offensive tackle early. They were going to find that guy for the next 5-10 years to suit up in Baltimore, play the right tackle position, and that would be that. Well, for Phillips, if that was the case and the Ravens did do that, wouldn't have been great, because I think, again, the Ravens view him as more of a tackle than a guard. Can play both, but it seems like the Ravens are trying to develop him in that tackle role. So if the Ravens ended up taking a tackle and saying, you know, we'll say Tevin Jenkins. If the Ravens took Tevin Jenkins, he was going to probably be slotted into that right tackle position, which would have meant that Tyree Phillips would not have had the opportunity, most likely, unless Tevin Jenkins was horrible, didn't fit, didn't do this, didn't do that. Unless injuries happened, there would not have been a spot for Tyree Phillips. And the Ravens, we did talk about it, signed Alejandro Villanueva. And that is the guy who's going to be the Ravens' right tackle in 2021 and potentially 2022 as well. But that's just, you know, kind of a stopgap option. He's not the future of the position. Now what Tyree Phillips has is an opportunity to go out and not really play right away, but, you know, injuries can happen and he can slide into the starting lineup and whatnot. But now he has the chance to develop and hone in on his skills more and be able to utilize his skills in a better way and just, you know, learn the NFL game, get caught up with the NFL game a bit more. And so in 1 or maybe even 2 years, when Villanueva departs and is no longer a member of the Ravens, whenever that may be, then if the Ravens feel like they have something in Tyree Phillips, if Phillips is someone who has developed, then they can try to plug him in there and he could be that future option. But if it was a Tevin Jenkins, or if it was a guy like Christian Darrisaw, it probably would have been harder for Tyree Phillips to crack the roster and, you know, crack the starting lineup, of course. And, you know, I said crack the roster because it could have been a situation where the Ravens just decide, you know, we don't need you here anymore. You know, we don't view you as that depth. Maybe that's something that happened in 1 or 2 years. But now Phillips gets to stay on the roster. And, you know, I don't think he was going anywhere anyway. I don't think the Ravens are going to cut him this offseason or heading into the 2021 season. But I still think that, you know, there's a bit of uncertainty with a bunch of younger players who don't really have huge roles on a team whenever rookies come in, whether they're first, second, even third round guys in some instances, because it pushes them, and that can be a good thing, but sometimes it can also be a bad thing. I think competition is always good, and that's just my opinion, but for Phillips, now he gets to develop, hone in on his skills, learn behind a guy like Alejandro Villanueva, and see where he goes from there. The next winner for the Baltimore Ravens I want to talk about, Justin Madubuike, the second-year defensive lineman out of Texas A&M. I love Justin Madubuike. I think he is going to be a phenomenal piece to Baltimore's defense, not just here during this 2021 season, but also throughout the course of his entire career. Now, the Ravens, there was some speculation that the Ravens, you know, they love drafting defensive linemen and they can do this and that. They can go in so many different directions. One of those directions, and I certainly thought they were going to do it, at least throughout one of the rounds of this 2021 draft, was take a defensive lineman because the stars, right? They're deep in the position already. Calais Campbell, Derek Wolfe, Brandon Williams. What I've been talking about on this show for a very long time is the fact that all three of those stars over 30 years old. And that's huge because, you know, it's not like those three can't contribute here in 2021, even some in 2022, but the Ravens, I think, are eventually going to have to start looking at the position and saying, you know what, we have stars right now, but they're not going to be around forever, unfortunately. So guys like Christian Barmore were potentially options, Aleem McNeil, Bobby Brown, but the Ravens decide to not take a defensive lineman in this 2021 draft. So maybe I could even throw Broderick Washington under this, you know, winner's circle as well, although I don't really know his future with the Ravens right now, you know, if they're sweeping that whole off-the-field incident under the rug or whatnot, or if they decided it wasn't a big deal. But, you know, Broderick Washington had an off-field incident earlier in the offseason, so I don't really want to classify him as anything right now. I want to focus on Madubuike, who did not have an off-field incident and had a pretty good year in year one. Didn't get on the field, you know, overly excessively, but still was able to contribute at a high level and showed some nice improvement, some nice pop, some nice pressure ability from the inside. And now he doesn't have to compete with a Christian Barmore for 2021 snaps. Doesn't have to compete with an Aleem McNeil for the 2021 snaps. I think that he's going to have a very prominent role. And of course, as guys like Campbell, Williams, Wolf get a bit older, I think that Madubuike throughout, you know, whether it is the course of the 2021 season or 2022, whatever, he's going to be able to develop and take on more of a role because he showed, I think, in 2020 that he does have so much potential. And he's going to be someone who's going to be a huge part of the Ravens defensive line rotation in the future. And that's just not for, you know, 2023, 2024, 2025. It's going to be this year. You know, we're going to see a lot more Justin Madubuike on the field, I feel like, just because of his ability to go out there and get that interior pressure, something that Baltimore has struggled with over the last couple of seasons, and Madubuike was able to provide some of that. So the fact that Baltimore didn't take a defensive tackle to compete with Madubuike for his snaps in 2021, I think is going to be huge for not only his development, but his production in 2021 as well. Finally here, I want to talk about another defensive player who I thought was a winner from the 2021 draft for the Baltimore Ravens, and that is, I think, a fan favorite in Deshaun Elliott, the safety. Now, this was another position on defense. The Ravens didn't necessarily have a glaring hole at the position. It's not like they had no starter quality players, both Chuck Clark and Elliott. Phenomenal starting options for the Ravens, but Elliott filling in for Earl Thomas did a great job. I want to put that out front here. None of this is Deshaun Elliott slander. I've been trying to hammer that home for a while. Deshaun Elliott is a good safety in the NFL. He is someone who has instincts, recognizes defensive play calls, is very smart, is a physical player, can be a ball hawk as well. But his skill set is best suited at strong safety. Now, Elliott had to learn free safety because of the Earl Thomas departure and played very well, but there was some speculation that the Ravens could have gone out there and taken a guy with more true free safety skills, that guy who you can play in single high and who can roam in the middle of the field, kind of like that Earl Thomas type player. And then with that, you could use some looks where you move Deshaun Elliott over to strong safety and you put Chuck Clark as the dime linebacker, use free safety looks. I was a big advocate of that. But what the Ravens decided not to do is draft a safety who could take Deshaun Elliott out of his starting role in 2021. And honestly, I'm fine with that. I think Deshaun Elliott, again, is going to continue to grow, continue to learn, and be even better than he was in 2020. The only guy who the Ravens really drafted who I think is going to profile as more of a safety is Brandon Stevens. I think Sean Wade, they could try him out at safety, but I think he's going to be more of that backup nickel option who could also be a safety, but they're going to prioritize him as a corner. So there wasn't any reason for the Ravens to necessarily force a picket safety because they had those two quality starting options. They didn't need to trade up for a Javon Merrig or reach for him or Javon Holland or anyone like that. Now, the guy who I could see challenging for the starting job in maybe, you know, midseason or whatnot. And then the Ravens can look at three safety looks with Elliott and Clark. Or Darius Washington, the reported signing. The Ravens have not announced their undrafted free agent class yet, which I do find a bit interesting. But the reported signing of Ardarius Washington could maybe push Deshaun Elliott out of the free safety job if he plays admirably. And then what you can do is you can utilize those three safeties, use them all really, really nicely. But for right now, Deshaun Elliott has a firm grip on a lot of playing time. And that's why I classify him as a winner, because even if, you know, he was still playing as a strong safety and three safety looks and whatnot, he probably would have had to cut back on his playing time. He wouldn't have been on the field as much because the Ravens, you know, sometimes would maybe want to go base, and in those base, you want Chuck Clark in there, or you want to do this without Deshaun Elliott on the field and then put him in for third downs. But now Deshaun Elliott has a firm grasp on that playing time, on that free safety position. And unless the Ravens make a move or someone like Ardarius Washington comes in and tears the lights off a training camp, I think it's Elliott's job to go out there and play. And I'm ecstatic for Elliott to go out there and do it, because I've been a big advocate of his for a very long time, even back to his days at the University of Texas. But I still think that for Elliott, he's someone who was a big winner in the 2021 draft for the Ravens. We're going to head into our final break here, and when we return, we're going to be taking a look at some losers from the Ravens in the 2021 draft, so stay tuned for that, and we'll be back soon. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. Did you know that Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors, including coconut, cherry, raspberry, and double chocolate? Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. Order today and get that raspberry or mint brownie or whatever you like. Don't know what to get your mom for Mother's Day? Well, most moms love Built Bar. Send her a box and it'll be sure to be her favorite, at least for a while, until you get her the next box of Built Bars. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off of your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. And we return with our final segment of this Purple Friday post-draft edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher, your host, still hanging out with you here. Again, just under a week after the NFL draft ended for the Ravens, for the whole NFL, tons of great talent across the league getting chosen. And what I want to talk about now is, again, not about the talent that got chosen, especially for the Ravens, but about the players already on the roster, players from the 2020 season who were losers from this draft. We talked about the winners in the second segment. Now we're getting into the loser circle. And two of the players I want to talk about are both safeties. The safety position for the Ravens, again, a bit interesting right now, especially because with Deshaun Elliott now probably being the starting free safety again, he's going to have to learn to hone in on those skills even more to be that true ball hawk and hopefully provide that for the Ravens. And I'm confident that he will. But two of the safeties that I think were losers in this draft process for the Ravens: Jordan Richards and Geno Stone. And so I'll talk about each of them. I'm going to start with Jordan Richards. Jordan Richards is somebody who has come in and played a big role for the Ravens on special teams. He hasn't played a ton of defensive snaps, but has really come in and been a nice steady presence on the special teams unit for the Ravens. And so what I like about that is the fact that, you know, the Ravens, they value their special teams. And Jordan Richards, Anthony Levine, they have been those guys who go out there, can line people up, can understand when things aren't going well, when they're not going to go well, and make some plays there as well. But what the Ravens have now is an abundance of safeties on the roster. You know, we'll break it down. Chuck Clark, Deshaun Elliott, Richards, Stone, Levine, now Brandon Stevens, who is probably going to transition over to safety, and the reported signing of Ardarius Washington. So in reality, I could see the Ravens keeping 5 safeties. So if we were just going based off of before the draft, right, we would do Elliott, Clark, Richards, Levine, Stone, and that would be it. You know, 5 safeties, good number, good for depth, a lot of versatility there, and you're done. But the Ravens added 2 players in a reported signing of Ardarius Washington and Brandon Stevens. So what I see here are position battles, right? There are going to be tons of position battles throughout the course of the entire training camp for the Baltimore Ravens. And one of those big position battles will be at the safety position. I think it really will come down to Jordan Richards versus Brandon Stevens and Ardarius Washington versus Geno Stone. Now, the more interesting battle is Ardarius Washington versus Geno Stone, but I will talk about Jordan Richards versus Brandon Stevens. I mean, this is a positional battle that if it does come down to, are we keeping Jordan Richards or are we keeping Brandon Stevens? Brandon Stevens wins 10 out of 10 times because the Ravens picked him in the third round. They are very high on him. Jordan Richards is great, but if you keep an Anthony LaVine on your roster, then do you need a Jordan Richards? I know obviously they play a bit differently on the defensive side of the ball, but how often are you really going to rely on Jordan Richards on the defensive side of the ball? He did play some single high. They put him back 30 yards deep on the moon and just said, don't let anything past you a couple times. They tried that out with Marcus Gilchrist and a couple other guys as well, but for right now, I just don't see a role for Jordan Richards, and if it comes down to Richards versus Stevens, the Ravens are keeping Stevens 10 out of 10 times. And for Stone, you know, it's kind of the same thing, although it is a little bit different, because what you have is the reported signing of Ardarius Washington, and I keep saying reported because it just hasn't been announced. You know, he's posted on his Instagram story of him, you know, with the signed picture from his agency with the Ravens logo and everything. So I'm assuming it's all done and everything, but I don't want to jump the gun and say something is official when it's not. So for the Ravens, if the Ardarius Washington signing does go through, it makes Geno Stone a loser, because what I think is it would be a battle between Stone and Washington, and honestly, I think Washington wins that battle, because I think that he comes in and shows people that he should have been a third round pick or fourth round pick, because to be frank, he should have been. But at the end of the day, the Ravens now have a ton of safety depth, and that's not a bad thing. Having all this depth, again, I'll say it, it's a good thing to have, because you're able to see who performs under pressure, see who's able to do what, and see what skill sets you need, and you don't want to keep too many of one skill set, so you want to be able to have balance and keep some of the other. But for Geno Stone, someone who was a late-round draft pick of the Ravens in 2020, now to come in and most likely be battling again for his roster spot with an undrafted rookie in Ardarius Washington if it does go through. Yeah, I think Ardarius Washington wins, and that's why I think Geno Stone is a loser. And finally, I will talk about the other big positional battle, two guys who were losers in this 2021 draft process. I think the two biggest ones for the Ravens, and that is both Miles Boykin and James Prochet. It seems like for the Ravens, they're going to be keeping six wide receivers. I've been saying that throughout the entire offseason process here. Their offense does not justify them to keep seven wide receivers. Now, what did the Ravens do when they took Rashad Bateman and Tylan Wallace? They made a receiver room of seven wide receivers who could make this roster. Marquise Brown, Sammy Watkins, Rashad Bateman, Tylan Wallace, Miles Boykin, Devin Duvernay, James Prochet. In my opinion, I think Brown, Watkins, Bateman, Wallace, Duvernay, all safe. That's five. What you have is Miles Boykin and James Prochet battling it out for that final roster spot. Now, who would the Ravens keep? You know, I'm not entirely sure, to be honest, because Boykin has provided some really nice things as a blocker, but just has not been able to get on the same page and has been a disappointment throughout his first couple seasons with the Ravens. Prochet is kind of redundant with a couple of the receivers already on the roster, you know, more of a slot guy when the Ravens need more of an outside presence. That's why they drafted Bateman and Wallace, but insane route running, really good one given an opportunity, and didn't really get much of an opportunity, only one catch in 2020. So what do the Ravens do there? I don't know, but what I do know is that I'd be shocked if the Ravens keep seven wide receivers. And look, I said they weren't going to take two in the 2021 draft, so they're probably going to turn around and keep seven wide receivers and just prove me wrong again. But I seriously think that they're not going to be able to keep seven wide receivers with the other positions they have to keep on the roster already. They're going to throw the football more in 2021, but I still don't think that justifies them keeping seven wide receivers. So, you know, we'll see what ends up happening. The Ravens have a bunch of positional battles set to happen and set to kick off throughout the course of training camp. But the two big ones that I'm looking at right now, safety and wide receiver. That's all that I have for you today. We're going to take a two-day break here on Locked On Ravens. But when we get back here on Monday, it's more Ravens talk from us as we continue to break down the 2021 draft for the Baltimore Ravens. So stay tuned for that, and I will see you on Monday.